I'd like to call the Oral Valley Town Council regular and study session October 4th, 2023 to order. Mr. Standish, roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Here.
Councilmember Bowen.
Here.
Councilmember Green.
Here.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Here.
Councilmember Nicholson.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
And Mayor Winfield.
Here. We have all seven council members present. Mr. Standish, if you could read item one of the executive session.
Pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A3 to receive legal advice and ARS 38-431.03A4 for possible litigation regarding the notice of claims regarding Naranja Drive.
I move to go into executive session with the town manager, deputy town manager, town attorney, legal services director, attorney from Humphrey and Peterson PC, representing the municipal risk pool, and the town clerk.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Green. Any discussion? Councilmember Bowen?
Yes, question for the town manager. It's stated as regarding Naranja Drive. Could we provide any more detail regarding that since we are going into executive session? What is the nature of the claim?
The claims, these would be injuries related to Naranja Drive.
Thank you.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay. The ayes have it, 7-0. We'll go into executive session. We'll resume the regular session of the Oro Valley Town Council. Regular and study session, October 4th, 2023. Mr. Standish, roll call.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Present.
Councilmember Bowen.
Here.
Councilmember Green.
Present.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Here.
Councilmember Nicholson.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
And Mayor Winfield.
Here. We have all seven members of council present this evening. If you would please stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Standish will announce upcoming meetings.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The October 9th Water Utility Commission meeting has been canceled. And then the Budget and Finance Commission will hold their next regular session on October 17th at 4 p.m. here in the council chambers. Then the town council will have a regular and study session on October 18th at 6 p.m. here in the council chambers. And then the October 19th Stormwater Utility Commission meeting has been canceled, and the October 25th Board of Adjustment meeting has been canceled as well. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Standish. We'll have council reports for current events this evening. Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to remind all of you that Friday, October 13th, is Who Killed Tim Burton? Was It You? That is the Project Grad for CDO. Fundraiser. The last day to get tickets will be this Friday, October 6th at noon. Again, the event's going to be held at the Buttes at Reflections. It's going to start at 6 o'clock. Doors are going to open at 5. They are going to have silent auctions, and one of the ones that I think is most popular, you're going to have Golden Ranch Firefighters cook dinner. And if you think these guys are shoddy, let me tell you, they're not. They whip up some really hot stuff. You also have an opportunity, if you'd like, you can buy an additional ticket if you want to be one of the suspects. And they have about 18 different suspects with, believe it or not, Willy Wonka as being one of them. So if you'd like to participate on that level also, you can certainly dress up in your costumes. They're going to be judging costumes this year. This, I want to remind you, it's for our young adults here in Oro Valley. Their goal is to raise $9,400. So I want to encourage each and every one of you to attend. There's going to be dinner, delectable desserts. Please let's support our youth. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Jones-Ivey. Other council reports? I want to make a brief report about an event yesterday that I had the opportunity to participate in. I provided a couple photographs. We'll bring those up. This was at Canyondale Oral High School. This is a group of automotive students, and in the center there is their instructor, Jeremy Tarbett. He's an automotive teacher. He graduated from CDO in 2004. He's a graduate from the University of Arizona. He's been teaching at Canyondale Oral for approximately 7 to 9 years. But he was awarded a $50,000 check from Harbor Freight for his teaching excellence. $35,000 of that will stay with the school. $15,000 will go to Jeremy and his family, married and two children. But this is a wonderful event that occurred in our community. Jeremy's representative of some of the excellent teachers that we have in all of our schools. And Harbor Freight will be opening a new store here in Oro Valley next week. Is a ribbon cutting, and that's October 13th at 9 a.m. So we want to applaud Jeremy and Harbor Freight for this wonderful event yesterday. So. We'll go to Mr. Wilkins. We'll present his report this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A few things. Next week, the Community Academy starts. We have over 60 enrolled for the Academy this year. So I'm providing the first session, first one I've done, so go easy on me. And then we also, a few other things. We have a new video that we posted on YouTube and other social media about Know Your Budget. You know, we have a two-page document, but this is a video about that. So hopefully everybody gets a chance to look at that. Also, Communications put together a new podcast segment, which is part of our This is Oro Valley. So last week of each month, they interview Lois Feldman of Parks and Rec. She talks about the latest Parks and Rec programs and activities for residents to look forward to in the next month. And then last, our Halloween event that Parks and Rec puts on for us. It's actually Halloween. So that'll be at JDK Park on Saturday the 28th, 5 to 8. So all ages and music. It's free for all. Jumping castles, kids crafts, food trucks, and trunk or treat. I'm not sure exactly what that part is. But and then costumes are encouraged. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Wilkins. I think trunk or treat are when cars park with their trunks open and hand out candy to kids. So yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. So some great events coming up. Thank you. The agenda will remain as posted. We'll go to call to audience. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, mayor and council are not allowed to discuss, respond to, or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. At the conclusion of call to audience, council members may direct town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. When you come forward, if you would please state your name and whether you're a resident of Oro Valley. Devin Smith.
Good evening, Mayor Winfield, Vice Mayor Barrett, and members of the Town Council. My name is Devin Smith, and I am a resident of Oro Valley. I would just like to thank you for listening at each meeting to our concerns about the OVCN rezone. It is our hope that we can preserve our beautiful and historic neighborhood and keep it safe for neighbors and their families living there. We remain vigilant in our stance, and we remain firmly opposed. Thank you.
Mike Zinkin.
Mr. Mayor, Council, I'm Mike Zinkin, resident of Oral Valley. I would like to remind you once again about a town policy that's been in effect since March 5th, 1997, and was reaffirmed on April 20th, 2005. I've repeatedly sent you all details of Town Policy 6. Additionally, I provided our new town manager with all the town policies during his inaugural month in office. Town Policy 6 requires that all unbudgeted expenses must be presented to the council for approval. All previous councils have adhered to this policy, with the exception of this one. The former town manager wrongfully claimed that you aren't bound by decisions of past councils. However, until you officially decide to change or update past council policies, they remain in effect. You did this when you terminated the $120,000 transfer from the Community Center Fund to the General Fund. It's notable that the current $25 million bond for the parks exceeds budget by $9 million. Additionally, the La Cañada multi-use path exceeded its budget by $15,530. And according to a recent town manager report, quote, as of the publishing of this report, the total expenditures over the budget for the entire set of projects, which he talked about earlier, were $193,173. I've yet to see any agenda item approving any vote to sanction these overrides. Merely being informed by staff that the project's going to exceed approved amount doesn't equate to approval. It's imperative that you schedule and hold a vote on all these budgetary overrides before the budget's allocated. We did it when I was on council. The town manager came to us a couple times with some problems, and we discussed it and either approved it or disapproved it. I urge this council to reclaim its authority from staff and abide by the approved mandates. Neglecting to do so is both unlawful and imprudent.
Tim Terrace.
Mayor Winfield, Vice Mayor Barrett, Council and staff. My name is Tim Terrace, and I am a resident of Oro Valley. Thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. My topic tonight will be homework. All of us have done it at some point in our lives, and we are all familiar with it. Some is hard or easy, long or short, fun or not so much. Several years ago, the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene assigned the Concordia Buena Vista group homework. We didn't ask for it, but decided it was in our best interest to do it anyway. It is very time-consuming, takes us away from other personal tasks, and is sometimes very tedious and frustrating. Not wasting time, the group drove right in with enthusiasm. This 31-pound bundle of joy, including flash drives, reflects our work thus far. Along the way, we have had career days with news media, attorneys, police, and other professionals that came and explained their line of work. There was also a crafting project making 450 pink signs. Many did not hold up well enough as the project has taken longer than expected and they had to be continually replaced. All in all, it has been quite the experience, and we know we are not done because we are sure there is more to come. Our group looks forward to the challenge, and we are striving for a good and successful grade as a result of our efforts. Finally, we felt we needed a class motto. So to paraphrase a portion of the United States Air Force Academy Honor Code, we will not lie, steal, or cheat, nor tolerate those among us of anyone that does. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Ann Young.
My name is Ann Young. I live in Oral Valley, and Tim's my next-door neighbor. So my hat goes off to him for all of his hard work. But anyway, that's beside the point. On Saturday, OVCN hosted a fall carnival that included a water slide. The children were having a great time. Their screaming and laughter was a thing to behold as I swam in my backyard pool. I'm not complaining about that. I expect that to happen, and I'm so delighted the kids had a great time. I expect this to happen two or three times a year at a church, or our neighborhood church, that we expected Oral Valley Church to be. And I'm so happy that the kids are happy at church. The only thing that really scares me and my neighbors is that this may come about 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, that we have this noise pollution, air pollution, traffic pollution, light pollution, to really take away from our wonderful lifestyle in our little neighborhood in Oro Valley. Thank you.
I have no other blue cards. I'll close call to audience. We'll go to the consent agenda. I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Nicholson. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay. The ayes have it, 7-0. We'll go to the regular agenda. Mr. Standish, item one.
Resolution number R23-37, discussion of possible action to approve a land water conservation grant award in the amount of $1 million for the Naranja Park skate pump track.
Thank you. Our interim Parks and Recreation Director, Mr. Jankowski, will present this item. Mr. Jankowski.
If I could start out, Mr. Mayor, just excited about this to bring forward a $1 million grant award from Arizona State Parks and Land and Conservation Program Fund, especially Matt. So leading into this, appreciate and recognize him for all the work he's done on this grant. He was the main person that wrote this grant. Also, back in February of earlier this year, looked at input and looked at all the grant opportunities, got some input from the state as far as what projects might have some basically be scored well, and then now he is going to present. So I think just wanted to introduce that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wilkins and Mayor, members of Council. Good evening. Yes, as Mr. Wilkins said, this is very exciting. To reiterate some of the points he just mentioned, this grant was submitted or was worked on during the months of January and February and ultimately submitted during the month of March. We worked closely with Mickey Rogers, who is the Chief Grants Coordinator for Arizona State Parks Organization. Once this grant was submitted, it only actually took 5 months for it to be approved. That was essentially record time from them. By Mickey's own admission, it worked out very quickly. I'll get into that, essentially why we were able to move forward so quickly with that. But ultimately, once the grant was submitted, it went before the Arizona Outdoor Recreation Coordination Commission and then the Arizona State Parks Board in June for approval. And we did receive notice of award at the end of August. In this being one of the fastest grants in place, part of the rationale behind that was because for a project of this size, it did require 100% matching funds. So this going towards the Naranja Park expansion, we more than fulfilled that amount in needing to be able to match those funds. We also had a master plan in place, and particular to the amenity being the skate park and pump track, that is something that was viewed as a true need for the community, as we did not currently have one in our inventory. So that's the main reason why that was one of the items put forward as a part of the grant project. It was focused on youth. It also had a proximity to the surrounding communities and the trails for access to the site, as well as the proximity to the public school that was over in that space. The other thing also really overall was just timing. The money was available. We as a town had everything in place that worked perfectly for this to happen, we were provided the award. One other thing to note, actually today I spoke to over 80 members of the National Association of State Outdoor Recreation Liaison Officers. That's a large organizational name, but essentially they make up the Land Water Conservation Fund grant administrators from across the country. They're actually in town staying at the Westward Look for their national conference. They Mickey Rogers is coordinating this. Is it happening here in the state? He reached out to me and asked to meet with the group and not only allow them on site to see Naranja Park, which they were thrilled and very impressed with. So thank you all for all the funding to do the expansion progress work out there, but also particular to this grant and the impact it's going to have. So it was very well received. And as we've tried to look back in some of the records, we are pretty confident that this is the largest single grant award to the Parks and Recreation Department independently. So that's a little background on the grant. Again, we're very excited to have received that, and we're looking forward to being able to do some great things with that money.
Thank you, Mr. Jankowski. We appreciate your report.
Absolutely.
I move to approve resolution number R23-37, land and water conservation grant award in the amount of $1 million for the Naranja Park skate pump track.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Green. We'll open it for discussion. Councilmember Nicholson.
I just want to say congrats, Matt, for getting the largest grant in our park's history. That's quite an achievement. And I'm just really happy that you guys did such a great job. Both the skaters and mountain bikers were really happy being able to work together with them and create a great project. And I'm glad we get the $1 million. It doesn't make the parks bigger or better or anything like that, but getting the $1 million, maybe we can help pay for some of the pickleball courts and some of the other things that everyone does enjoy around here. So, but thanks for your work, and thanks for all the staff's work, and thanks for the council for allowing us to build a skate park and a pump track in the Oro Valley. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. So, you know, Councilmember Baum.
And Mr. Jankowski, I wanted to thank you as well. From your presentation, I learned something important, that having a master plan enabled us to demonstrate we didn't have this amenity in our inventory. In addition, we had to go through another hoop, which was put up half the money. So I appreciate the work from your department, have the foresight to request the amenity. I think it's a good amenity, and also to obtain the grant. I think that in this case, we get something. We get $2 million worth of value for $1 million from our taxpayers, and I think that's good business for the town. So I really appreciate what you guys have done.
Thank you.
Councilmember Nicholson.
I want to mention, too, I know Chrissy's not with us anymore, but I just want to mention how great of a job she did working with both of those groups. I know they had differing opinions. One wanted something bigger, the other one wanted another, but she met with them, and she did a great job, in my opinion, working with both of those groups to make a really good product. So I just want to say thanks to her if she's listening out there.
Okay. So there's a motion to approve on the table. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay. The ayes have it, 7-0. Thank you, Mr. Jenkins.
Thank you.
Mr. Standish, item 2.
Discussion and possible action regarding HOA contributions for golf through the Community Center Fund.
Councilmember Solomon and Councilmember Green requested this agenda item. Councilmember Solomon, turn the floor over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As most people know, the golf course was purchased by the town in 2015, and effectively since that time has actually been several of the success stories showing continued improvement year after year after year up until the current years, where it's actually showing a profit even before the half-cent sales tax that was implemented and approved by council to support and pay for the golf course in the community center. In 2020, the town basically met with the HOA surrounding the golf courses, specifically the 36 holes, and discussed how they could help contribute to the success of the golf course. And they came upon an agreement with the town to basically contribute annually to support the golf courses. I think staff has some financial summary slides that can be presented that was in the agenda package.
There is a packet of information in the that's available. That being, we do have one, not only the HOA agreements, but also a sheet of golf financial analysis
That right. The one that's on the in the agenda packet itself was from 2021 through the budget year of this year, and then an additional analysis was also provided that went back to 2015. That was provided to the council through a report.
Okay, now so a few items on this. First off, this is different than the financial statement put out by Indigo, our golf management company. And the difference is significant in what the total operating profit losses are. And I believe that is because this chart does not include the HOA contributions nor the sales tax generated by golf sales and play. If you add those numbers in, it changes these results. So we should be working with the accurate numbers. For example, in 2021, year-to-date through June, Indigo has, there was, quote, a net operating expense, whoops, excuse me, my went down, of minus $160,460, not $384,000. In June 22, there was actually a positive amount of $325,918. And in 23, it was a positive amount of $385,059. So by these measures, Golf Community Center and this fund is turning a profit. Now, once again, this leaves out something very important, a half-cent sales tax. And I'd like to ask our financial director, what was our half-cent sales tax in the latest year, 2023?
If you'll just bear with me, I believe it was about $3.7 million, but I can give you the exact amount if you...
No, that's fine. $3.7 million. So we are operating at a profit of about $4 million when we include the $3.7 million half-cent sales tax. Now, when the HOAs entered into the agreement, there was a loss. But as time has gone on and the golf course has succeeded, two things have happened. We're actually turning a net profit of $4 million. That's a lot of money. The other thing that happened is this council voted to use community center funds for other parks and rec operations, specifically the Vistoso Preserve, and to my understanding is to pay. We borrowed $25 million to build Naranja, and those payments are being taken out of the $4 million profit of the Community Center Fund. So the question that happens is, originally, the HOAs are putting in $160,000 to help support the golf course because it was supposedly losing money, when in reality it wasn't, particularly if you add in the half-cent sales tax revenue. Now they're still putting this money in, but out the back door, millions of dollars are going each year to support other parks and recs activities that doesn't include golf. So the question is, how do they know that the $160,000 they're paying is actually supporting golf when all the excess funds are going out the back door? So if it's a profit, one could easily argue what's going on is their $160,000 payment is just allowing an extra $160,000 to fund other projects, not the golf courses. If that's the case, then I think we have an issue of fairness, and I think it's something that we should be taking a look at.
Are you directing a question to anyone in particular, Councilmember Solomon?
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor?
Are you directing a question to anyone in particular?
No. It's a discussion. I believe there's some blue cards. I wanted to open up the discussion here among council.
Okay. All right. We'll open it. I do have some blue cards for this particular item. We can go to blue cards. Again, if you'd state your name and whether you're a resident of Oral Valley, Tony D'Angelo.
Thank you, Mayor Winfield and members of the Town Council. My name is Tony D'Angelo. I am an Oral Valley resident. First wish to thank this Town Council for your continued support of all 45 holes of golf that make up Elkhorn Golf. Municipal golf within Oro Valley has become a valuable asset to its residents and the economy. I also wish to thank Councilman Solomon for placing on the agenda discussion regarding these financial investments the HOAs make. I believe the majority sentiment within the HOAs is to continue these subsidies for the long-term viability of golf in Oro Valley. However, what is heard is a concern over how specifically the contributions are invested. When the HOA subsidies were accepted by the town, the narrative was that the cost of golf to the community exceeded a generally accepted standard of financial support to its recreational assets. But now, to the contrary, the actual cost of golf is consistently below other recreational amenities with or without the subsidy. User fees from the revenues for golf currently are contribute 100% of the actual operating expenses of golf. The non-golf town-managed part of the community center, the user fees only cover 67%. And all the other town recreational assets that have user fees, like the aquatic center and sports fields, only 33% of the operating cost is made through the user fees. Capital improvements for any of these facilities do not and should not be a factor into these numbers. Irrigation systems, a playground equipment, a skate park are assets for the long term. If the HOA subsidies are not required to make up for operating expenses above what the town contributes to other recreational amenities, then what's the money used for? The town council voted to utilize the community center 0.5% sales tax for all parks and rec needs. We believe it is fair then that the HOA residents contributing to golf know that their investment goes directly to sustaining and improving the golf operation. It is also important to know that our contribution is being used for golf operations above what should be proportionately and fairly allocated by the town park and rec budget. HOA contributions should not be used in ways that allow the reallocation of funds to other uses. It is therefore my desire that the town provide not only an accurate accounting of how these funds are used, but also a detailed plan for their future use to assure Oro Valley's golf operations are continuously improved. Thank you.
John Cronin.
Hello. My name is John Cronin. I am a resident of Oro Valley. I'm also a member of the board of directors for the El Conquistador Resort Patio Homes Association, which is the largest, which includes 192 properties in Oro Valley, and which is the largest of the three HOAs that have entered into agreement with the town to provide financial support for the Pouche Ridge Golf Course in exchange for the town's agreement to continue operation of the course. I want to say first that I want to join in the comments that Tony D'Angelo just made, but I also want to comment that we are currently doing a survey of our members about a lot of things in our HOA. And there is a question in there about the golf course. What we're finding from the results so far, and it's still ongoing, but more than half of the people have responded, and the vast majority of those responses, which is about 95%, reflect a desire for the HOA to continue to expand our efforts regarding the course. Our agreement with the town includes additional obligations for both parties related to the payments and the operation of the golf course. It also includes a, quote, information and cooperation, close quote, section, in which the parties agree to provide each other with any information, documents, and cooperation reasonably requested to fulfill the purpose of the agreement. Key among those obligations for the town is one that requires that by the end of the third year of the agreement, that the town staff shall have evaluated, past tense, by the third year, and return to the town, to the Oro Valley County Council, with an analysis of the continued flexibility capital improvement requirements, including alternatives for water usage, potential new configurations of the course, and the possibility of a third-party lease for the Poosh course to determine ongoing course feasibility in accordance with the town council's direction. I know you're all aware of this because it's come up before. Under the agreement, our HOA reasonably expects that the town will provide available information and also seek our input and involvement in strategic decisions regarding not only the ongoing operation of the course, but also the analysis prepared by staff as required by the agreement. Although some cooperation has occurred, to date our expectations have not been met, despite our repeated requests to be kept informed and be part of the process. We expect that there's going to be issues that arise with regard to the ongoing and future operation of the course. We want to be involved in identifying and solving these issues. The Poosh Ridge course is a significant factor in protecting our property values and ensuring the quality of life in Oro Valley to which we have become accustomed. We are here to participate and help the town of Oro Valley make the continued operation of the Poosh Ridge course a benefit for the town and all its residents. Thank you.
Mike Zinkin.
Mike Zinkin, Oro Valley resident. There were two meetings that I attended that were convened by the former president of the Men's Golf Association. Mr. Mayor, you were president at the first one, and the town manager, Mary Jacobs, attended both of them. The main objective of these meetings was an idea put forth by the president to discuss a strategy to mitigate golf-related financial losses. At that time, golf was losing millions. One of the measures was to cancel the $120,000 repayment to the Community Center Fund, which you guys finally did. The other one was a source of funds from the HOAs, and I can only speak for the Kanata Hills Community Association, which, by the way, is bigger than the village, than the HOA that we just spoke about. I think there's 3,100 homes in it and some commercial establishments. So these were to offset the losses. It's worth noting that the former president of the Men's Golf Association wasn't a resident of any of these HOAs. And it's also required to vote that the Kanata Hills Community Association Board of Directors never went to the members or the residents of the Kanata Hills to ask them what they thought about entering into this agreement. It was done by the board of, which was legal, it was done by the board of directors. During the discussion about the potential of a $100,000 payment by the Kanata Hills Community Association, I inquired with Ms. Jacobs, if we're going to do that, why not have the town take over the maintenance of Kanata Hills Drive and Mountain Breeze Court, south of Naranja? In which she looked at me in this famous scorn, which you've probably all seen once or twice, and told me, you just be careful what you're talking about. The fact is, Kanata Hills Community Association is contributing to golf, and they're maintaining two major thoroughfares in this town. So I told, you know, I looked at Mary Jacobs, and I said, this a one-way deal, right? Take. What are we getting in return? The scope of the Community Center Fund recently has been broadened to encompass Parks and Rec. And if HOA fees are mandated to contribute financially to the town, how do we know that these towns are going to golf and not splash pads or BMX tracks? The town currently asserts the golf operations are financially stable, making it unnecessary to have funds to begin with. I propose and hope that you will vote to terminate this agreement. Thank you.
Richard, I believe it's Crocker.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Vice Mayor and the Town Council. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm on the Kanata Hills Community Association. I'm a member of the board of directors. And I voted yes to do the $100,000 supplement for Kanata Hills Community Center to help reduce tax support necessary to continuing the golf courses. That was the main clause, to support taxes. And it was a contingency of your motion passed by the town council to continue operating the golf courses. This agreement was signed on July 15, 2020, and Kanata Hills Community Association increased its assessment on 1,400 members to do this. We had the authority to do this as a board, mainly to conserve our property values, because we had done extensive studies to show the reduction in property values. I'm a civil engineer. I'm a dirt and rocks guy. As I understand the budget, these funds were placed in the community center funds to support golf courses and the overlook food and beverages. In 2022 and 2023, from your budget reports there, the profits for them, all golf courses and the overlook, was $35,000 and $78,000. This does not include tax revenue or our HOA donations. And then I look for 2024, and you have a budget estimate that we're going to lose $335,000, which doesn't make sense to me, because we're going to be operating more golf courses, we have a bigger population, and golf has been very successful. Additionally, it's not all clear where the funds go that we give to the town to supporting the golf courses, since they are not shown on the income statement for the golf courses. I'm the president of Kanata Hills Community Association right now, and members are reasonably questioning why we should continue supporting golf and overlook operations. We do have an agreement with the town that goes for 2 more years. Both sides have met their commitments, basically to keep the golf course open, to put in the irrigation systems, and for us to make our payments. However, since we don't know where it's going and the budget projections for 2024 are questionable, I, as the president, request you, as the council, would look at the projections before we make our next payment on April 1st, 2024. And if indeed the golf course is making money, I would request that you consider terminating this agreement and relieving us for our next $200,000 payments. Thank you very much.
Naranjan Vesio.
Mayor, Council, thank you very much. Naranjan Vesio, 23-year resident of Oro Valley. And I will admit, for the first 21, I was largely disengaged. I didn't get involved in town government or town functions. It wasn't until an issue hit home, like for many of us, that we step up. And for that, for me, it was the closure of Push Ridge Golf Course. So that's when a community rose up and came to you and said, open up that course. We will help you. We'll roll up our sleeves, and we'll give you cash, and we'll make it successful together. That was remarkable. That led me to get involved in the Water Utility Commission. That's where I serve now since the beginning of the year. And I want to tell you a little bit about that experience, because it has a point to golf. So every month, Peter, Mary, David come prepared with formal presentations to educate all of us on so many aspects of this water resource management. We're talking about well condition, water quality, year-to-date financials, capital plans, and yeah, we even vote on water rate increases before you guys do, ceremonially. It's a wonderful forum to exchange information with the town. Now, it's a remarkable demonstration of accountability. And I know there's a trust in the transparency they demonstrate, which brings me to golf. You have a bunch of residents saying, some were happy to contribute and were happy to help, like many of us on the Friends of Push Ridge Golf. Others may not. But here's my suggestion. I think they need information. I know they're asking questions, where is our money going? I suggest a committee. or a commission. You have the model that works so well in engaging the public, in disseminating information to the public. And I bet you if you consider that model of conveying information, being accountable, you will inspire a lot more people to get involved, like some of us did, including me. Thank you.
Steve Jones.
Mayor Winfield and council members, my name is Steve Jones. I still don't like coming up here. I didn't 5 years ago when I did it the first time. As I reflect on what I've written, which I hope it's my printer that's making it difficult to read and not my eyeglasses, but at any rate, I hate talking about golf in such a profit and loss statement. Because I don't think there's any way we can measure the value of golf for this town subjectively. As a part of the history here, thank you folks for listening to me, I guess. I forgot that part. I'm a resident of Oro Valley. I was the liaison for the Kenyatta Hills Community Association charged with negotiations of our contract or agreement with the town. I believe we should take a moment now to congratulate ourselves and each other on the status of the golf course results in the past few years, including everyone from the town council, Indigo, the HOAs, the Green Shirts, the MGA, the WGA, and many others. The golf course has shown a profit in the last 2 years with over 99,000 rounds of golf by our residents and guests last year. At a time when part of the courses was closed. The measurement of our profitability doesn't include property values that were protected, increased resident and hotel use, kids using first tee and junior golf programs, which this initiation of the discussions about closing the golf course actually generated, as Naranjan said, action that improved a lot of the different things. The question has been raised, should the HOA continue to contribute to lower tax support when no longer needed and when all subsidy and membership goals have been met? In my opinion, the town has met its obligations in their agreement, and I believe the HOA should also continue its obligations of payment. However, in the spirit of the agreement, those unneeded funds to reduce the tax support should be used for golf-related improvements to assure that the continued success of our courses. And I think if we do that, we're going to get money back ahead for the whole town. And that the tax support funds should be used for golf-related improvements to assure the continued success. Thanks to all of you folks.
Thank you. I have no other blue cards. Councilmember Solomon, come back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think what's interesting, as you've heard, is that everyone agrees the golf has been a good success. It's been good for the community, and it I think what we've also heard is the HOAs are fine helping to support golf. One of their concerns is they feel they're not getting as much transparency or information. And I'm assuming instead of a motion, it'd simply be a suggestion to staff or at request staff that they meet with them and provide more detailed information regarding the community center and golf fund so that they fully understand where the funds are going. Is that reasonable, Mr. Attorney?
I think it would be prudent to give a motion to give staff direction on how to proceed.
Okay, then I move that Council directs town staff to meet with the HOAs contributing to the Golf Community Center Fund regarding the detailed financials.
I'd second that.
Discussion? Vice Mayor and then Councilmember Bowen.
Can I possibly get up the other chart that we were handed out that shows the 9 years of the golf operations? It's not in the packet. But it's something that the council received and we have. Is that possible? In the meantime, while they're looking at that, I just think that this has been a good success story in terms of everyone pitching in together to make something work. What is the total amount of the HOA agreement?
I have that for you if you'd like.
Sure. Thanks, Councilmember Solomon.
The total amount of contributions through June of 2023 is $443,100.
Okay. Do you know what the total agreement amount is?
I don't know the total agreement amount over the time period.
Well, for, I mean, we have a five-year agreement. It's $125,000, so... $625,000. Ranjan, did I do my math correctly?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Well, I was just speaking to, yeah, so Push Ridge, that dollar amount is not as clean because it's 30-some thousand. And hey, Tony, I just don't have it on the top of my head.
Okay, thank you. So the five-year agreements for both HOAs comes out to about $800,000 total. And at the end of this budget year, the town will have contributed, if my math is correct in adding all these numbers, $22,710,617 of taxpayer dollars towards the golf courses. So I think that there's a significant amount of taxpayer support here. Up until the HOA agreement, the town had contributed $11,339,991. Over $10 million of that was just in operating expenses. So that was just money that was not investing into the course. That was just operating expenses, not purchase price. And then when we got the agreement, we changed operators. We changed a number of different things, worked with the HOAs, had a membership drive, all those different things to make it a success. The town's contribution has been almost the same, but we've been able to put almost all of that money into capital. So that's something that's a long-term investment that's going to be able to pay off. And hopefully, once that capital's done, you know, it'll just be the payments being made on that over time. And so the taxpayer burden will be significantly reduced moving forward. And so I think that's a big testament to the work that everyone did to try and make these courses successful, to reduce that $10,327,000 operating cost burden that had been borne for 5 or 6 years by the council or by the taxpayers. So I think that that's a good success story, and I'm happy to hear that there are people who are interested in continuing that. I don't have any objection to giving more clarity about where the money is going, that to make sure that it's going specifically for golf. One thing Mr. D'Angelo said was, you know, sustaining and improving the courses. Improving is also the capital and all the investments that are going into them. I have no objection to providing more clarity about that, but I do think personally that it would be nice if we just provided that publicly rather than having meetings with the HOA and going over detailed financials. You know, I think from my perspective, it would be best to just put out a report. Here's where we're spending that money so that it can be accessed by every citizen in this community. Is there... So that's my kind of summary of what I feel like has happened and my suggestion.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Councilmember Bowen.
I have a question for Mr. Gephardt. First, a question. My understanding is at the community center, we have 36 holes of golf, and at Pusch Ridge, we have 9 holes of golf. Is that correct?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, that is correct.
When I look at the expenses post-agreement for fiscal year 22 and fiscal year 23, I see expenses for the 36 hole that are either on the order of or greater than 10 times as much for the 36 hole operation as opposed to the 9 hole operation. So even though we only have 4 times as many holes, we spend 10 times as much money at the community center. Do you have any insight as to why that might be happening?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, I believe the insight is that the Pusch Ridge course is shut down through a number of the months that the 36th hole is not shut down. So that I think that's one factor. I think another factor is there's economies of scale with operating more versus operating less. So there's a certain amount of investment and cost that the contractor has, our golf operator has, with operating the 36-hole course. That is incremental for the additional 9-hole course. It's not it's not on a on an even or equal basis. It's an incremental cost increase. So those would be my two comments to why the 36 hole is significantly more than the 9 hole.
Thank you. And when I look at total expenses, for example, for fiscal year 2018, I see $4,895,958. That's well before we've done any irrigation. For fiscal year 24, I see almost the same number within about $60,000 in expenses. Yet at that time, we've put $11 million worth of capital improvements into the course. Are those numbers correct? Am I reading the correct numbers for fiscal year 18 and fiscal year 24?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, so I believe it's actually fiscal year 23 is the column that you're looking at, if I'm not mistaken, not fiscal year.
I'm looking at the far right column, fiscal year 2024. $4,965,000.
Oh, okay, sorry. That's the budget number. Sorry, I was not tracking. Yes, those are the correct numbers. One is an actual number. Obviously, fiscal year 24, we just barely entered into, and that's just a budget number because that's the best we have at this point. We did include numbers through August, but yes, that's a budget number provided. Both of these columns, all of this information really has been provided to the town by the contractor.
But to refine that for fiscal year 2023, it's almost the same, $4,917,000. It's within $40,000. Well, the point that I'd like to make is I was in this council chambers before it was redesigned in 2019, speaking to this council, and my point was, the reason we lose money on golf is because we spend $5 million every year, and at that time, we were only raising $3 million in revenue. The $5 million, the operational success can be said by a council member, but look at these numbers. It costs us exactly the same. There is no operational success. It doesn't matter that we've changed contract. We still get charged $5 million for this, and it's completely free and clear and in front of you. And that's why I've asked for the point of sale numbers, because the success is on the revenue side. We have not cut expenses. It's clear as day right up there. The success is somehow we're generating 66% more in revenue. And as a resident of this town, a resident of Southern California who would book golf tee times a week in advance, I know what a full golf course is. I know what 99,000 rounds of golf are. You can see it from the road. You can see backed up, stacked up groups of four. And these holes are empty. The restaurant's empty. And we can argue about it all day. The one thing that resolves this is the point of sale numbers. Do you think Starbucks trusts their franchisees to tell them how much they sold? No. They have a point of sale, and they charge you a royalty based on that point of sale. McDonald's, Walmart, everything's the same. The numbers that I'm most suspicious of are the revenue numbers, and I'm particularly suspicious of the Push Ridge revenue numbers because they happen to match the Push Ridge expenses very close. How is that suddenly happening? How is that incredibly happening? That, you know, we have some residents, friends of Push Ridge, they're trying to get every golfer in there that they possibly can. And it just so happens that every golfer that they can get in there they possibly can somehow is exactly how much we spend on those courses. This is these numbers, they really need to be audited. And I would like to thank one of our speakers who came up to the public. We do not do what he says we don't do. I'll give you two really good examples right now. An audit for golf and new work at the Lehman Academy regarding analysis of traffic. Both of those are unbudgeted.
Councilmember Bowen, can we stick to the agenda item? I don't believe the Lehman Academy has been agendized.
But these numbers aren't complicated. They're simple, but they're also very unusual. It just happens that the Push Ridge course happens to generate just enough green fees to cover its expenses. And that's why an audit is in order. And I request not to be interrupted. Rule 10.3, a member is not to be interrupted while they're proceeding in terms of the rules of the assembly. And all I ask, if this topic's going to come up, I'm going to speak to it with the hard work that I've done, the analysis of the numbers, and they don't make any sense to me. I don't see the success. I see an engineer out there nodding.
Mr. Mayor, I've got a point of order at this point. Council members implying that people are lying about the numbers, that our staff's lying about the numbers, our residents are lying about the numbers. He has no evidence that whatsoever. And, in fact, there is an audit being done specifically regarding point of sales numbers to once and for all prove the numbers are accurate, not based his speculation. He showed no evidence to question any number, yet he's making implied accusations against our staff, our residents, and our contractors.
Thank you, Councilmember Solomon. Councilmember Bowen, he's doing his own analysis. I don't believe he's calling into question other people's analysis, but he has his own analysis and interpretation of the numbers. And Councilmember Bowen, if you would continue.
And thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's exactly what I'm doing, is I'm showing you these are what the numbers are. And the numbers are the expenses are not going down. And if you put together the golf expenses that we spent post-agreement and at the bottom, the capital investments, you know how much that is? That's $30 million. That's almost a police station that we've spent on golf to keep golf courses open that were open when we bought them. I think these expenses are outrageous, unaudited, and I never wanted to close the golf courses. The hill that I'm on and the hill that I will fight on is the fact that we spend an outrageous amount, and I would hope the people looking at this, just to keep them open. It's unbelievable how much it costs us just to keep golf course holes open that were already open when we bought these golf courses. Thank you.
Yeah. Councilmember Jones-Ivey and then Councilmember Green. And Vice
Thank
Mayor
you,
Burke.
Mr. Mayor. I'm a little bit concerned about Councilmember Solomon's comment that there are monies going out the back door. What I would like to see staff produce for us is a very detailed report on golf, including sales tax and HOA income, all expenditures, and particularly operation. And I'd like to also request that report is discussed in a public forum so that our taxpayers that are not golfers have an understanding as to what's happening to their half-cent tax, sales tax.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Jones-Ivey. Just as a reminder, there is a motion on the table, and there have been some recommendations what sounds like an amendment to the motion. But let's, Councilmember Green, you speak, and then we'll.
Motion, sir, first.
Councilmember Solomon, you want to repeat your motion?
Basically, does the town clerk have, or should I restate?
Yes, Councilmember Solomon, I can repeat that if you'd like. So the motion on the floor from Councilmember Solomon is to move that council direct staff to meet with the HOAs contributing to the Golf Community Center Fund regarding the detailed financials, and that was seconded by Councilmember Green.
And so based on the discussion, it sounds like what was being recommended is that there could be a meeting, but there should be a report as the end product, and then that's...
Yes, I would accept that. I will make an amendment to the motion that it be a report as opposed to a meeting.
I would accept the amendment.
And if I might, Mr. Mayor, just clarify my comment to put a councilwoman's concerns at ease. When I was saying going out the back door, I was referring to going out the Golf Community Center Fund to fund other parks and recs projects as opposed to golf. Not that it wasn't accounted for. I'm sure we have a detailed accounting, but that's something that this report would show so everyone has a clear understanding.
Yeah, thanks for the clarification, Councilmember Solomon. Vice Mayor? Actually, Councilmember Green had asked for that.
On the positive side, if one goes up to the Push Ridge course, there now is a handicapped accessible ramp up there so that people can play tennis who are handicapped. And I like the idea of involving the HOAs in this accounting because there are amenities up there that are lacking. Once the pathway was put in, there was nothing put next to it. There's no plantings. It doesn't look very good. It looks like a half-done job. And I think if we involve the HOAs a little bit more, we'll probably get a better product out of it.
Vice Mayor.
Thank you. I just want to respond to Council Member Bowen for a moment about the numbers. All we have are the numbers that were provided. So all of us are, including the HOAs, the town, the council, all of us are using the numbers that are provided by the town. So we do have, as Council Member Solomon noted, an audit moving forward. So I just want to say, I think saying, well, the HOAs this or that, I mean, all of us are working off of the same information that were provided. Thank you.
Any more questions? Council Member Nicholson?
Just have a more or less a comment, but I as long as Mo both live on Kanata, as I'm actually on my board, I think Mo, you might be on your board too, but I look at it doing $30-$50 a month is a reasonable amount. I know one of you guys said that, you know, it is probably a decent amount to keep the ongoing course going open, and you know, we made an agreement saying that as HOA member, like, hey, we're gonna do this $50 a month for 5 years to try and help out the course. And, you know, obviously if the golf course is doing great, which is great for everyone, everyone wins in that situation. If it was doing worse, we wouldn't be going to HOA and say, hey, can you pony up some more cash? It'd be not reasonable for us. So, like, it's doing good. I say the extra money that's going to it is, it's going to it. I know that we, you know, there's some question about, well, all that money may not be going to the golf course because we're using it for the parks and stuff. But, you know, I don't play pickleball. I don't golf. I don't go to the aquarium. Like, but I want my citizens also to be happy. I know part of my tax revenue goes to other things, and I want those people to be happy. I think the biggest thing is making sure your council members are reasonable and responsible with your tax fund revenue, and I think we've been showing that we've been doing a really good job at it, and we're trying to do well, but, you know, and I also look at Rancho Vistoso. Me doing the $50 a month, I'd much rather do that. I know there's some people that put $15,000 or $60,000. If Jones came to me and said, hey, Josh, we need to put $15,000 in, I'd be like, no, we're not going to do that, but... You know, the $50 is very reasonable and responsible for us. Plus, we have our golf course. Rancho Vistoso people don't even have a course. They have, you know, they just don't have apartments behind their house or homes behind their house. And it's open to everyone. Everyone can go out there. For me to go and walk on the golf course, I got to pay to go on there. But I think the continuation of the pay of our own HOA residents, it's a reasonable amount. It's not too much. And it's just part of the contract. I'm not completely against getting rid of it. It is making a profit, but maybe it doesn't make a profit next year. But I think it's just it's a good thing for us to kind of continue to pay into it. as a HOA member. And I know all the funds, it's kind of gotten mixed around a little bit with doing the park and everything like that. But, you know, I also, my kids do dance. They don't go to play the basketball fields or football fields or soccer fields, but I don't mind spending a little bit of money to make sure the rest of my citizens are happy. And I think we did such a momentous thing a few years ago to save the golf courses for everyone's home values and to keep golf open for everyone. And I think it was such a great thing. I just want to keep going forward in a happy manner. And I also want to say, as far as those golf numbers, I specifically know Tony D'Angelo has been working very hard for the push course. I think there was some pretty bad marking, the Extreme 9. I think it should be called the Beautiful 9. I don't golf, but I have walked, and it is beautiful. But I even met Tony. He told me, he's like, hey, I'm trying to meet these restaurants to try and get people to, you know, to go to the restaurants and play golf. And I happened to just meet Tony there one day because he told me about a program. I was out there having lunch at the Firehouse Subs or something like that. But I know he's been doing a lot of work with his community. So thanks, Tony, for doing the work you're doing. But, yeah, that's all, man.
Thank you, Councilmember Nicholson. I don't believe there's any other comments. Councilmember Bowen?
Yes, for those of you out there, the golfers, I'd like to explain why I'm going to vote yes on this. The numbers to me are very stark. We spend about $40 million on golf expenses, including infrastructure, since you made your agreement. The full value of your agreement at about $850,000, if I heard the member of the assembly correctly, that's only 2%. I was not on the council when these agreements were approved. This was before I was seated in November of 2020. I think we sold you a bill of goods that the $850,000 that you contribute is going to be a game changer. It's not. $850,000 in $40 million worth of expenses is not a game changer. It's 2%. And I think this was mainly symbolic and morale building for the residents. And you just need to look at the numbers. If you guys had contributed 10%, I could not with good conscience make that statement to you. But it's 2% or less. And it was merely symbolic. You guys have been worrying too much. I don't think that it was fair of us to ask you to pay for something when your payment doesn't move the ball much in either direction. So that's why I'll support this, but I wouldn't have supported the agreement in the first place. I think the payment should go away. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I'd just like to say that I'm grateful we're in a better place. I believe we're in a better place because we're doing our best to work together. Admittedly, I mean, we can all do better, and I believe we will as we move forward. I think it is important to make a clarification on the $25 million bond. It's been noted by staff, and if I misspeak, please correct me, but essentially there are four bond projects. Three of those are completed. The majority of that is in the golf course and in the community center, so the golf irrigation, the tennis courts, pickleball courts, and so I think that's an important thing to remember, is that that $25 million bond, and you can see just by this chart, is that we've made significant investments into these courses that was not made previously. So we're in a better place. I attribute that to working together. I hope we can continue working together going forward. With that, all in favor of the motion on the floor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay? The ayes have it, 7-0. Thank you, Councilmember Solomon, Councilmember Green. We will, are there future agenda items?
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Solomon.
Yes, I propose a future agenda item for the November 1st agenda, and that is discussion and possible action regarding the formation of a golf advisory commission.
I would second that. I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Other future agenda items? Vice Mayor Barrett?
I'd like a future agenda item about discussion and possible action of a potential timeline or time limit for the public process of rezoning applications.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Nicholson. Other future agenda items? Hearing none, I move to adjourn.
Second.
Second by Vice Mayor Barrett. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay. The ayes have it. So without adjournment, I'm going to call to order the study session. And we'll take a 10-minute or a 9-minute break. We'll resume at 7:30. Okay, we're going to bring the study session to order. Mr. Standish, if you could read the item, please.
Presentation and possible discussion regarding plans for the town's 50th anniversary celebration.
Thank you very much. Yeah, as we all know, Oro Valley will be celebrating its 50th anniversary in 2024. This is an exciting landmark for the town. We appreciate the work that staff has been doing to help prepare for this special moment. And we have Communications and Marketing Administrator Ms. Nowak, who will present this item. Her co-lead is Recreation Facility Manager Mr. Lau. Okay. And with that, Ms. Nowak.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. I appreciate the opportunity to come here and share with you tonight the plans that we've made so far, as well as some of the areas where we're still collecting ideas. And I'll be providing you an overview of where we are today. And as you can imagine, an undertaking this size requires interdepartmental collaboration. And that's why I'm joined tonight by my colleagues from CED and from Parks and Recreation. I'll provide an initial presentation so you have the overall framework and what those big pieces, those planning pieces are. And then following that, we'll have an opportunity for you to ask additional questions. Also, our town manager has kept me apprised of some of your questions that have come in so far. And so I hope to address many of those during the presentation. Nick, would you mind advancing me? This isn't going. There we go. I figured the best place to start with any project is with the strategic plan. As you may note, the plan asks us to plan for, promote, and engage the community in Oro Valley's 50th anniversary celebration throughout 2024. And the real challenge there is the last two words, throughout 2024, finding ways to keep people interested beyond just a single event. And so staff worked together to set some SMART goals. You can see below that, providing engagement opportunities to all of our stakeholders, not just residents, but our businesses, community organizations, employees. And we'll be launching and announcing those, rolling them out in January, February, March. We also, in our plans, intend to consult or interview at least 20 different members of the community, kind of a broad cross-section, to generate stories and content about the town's history so that we can educate and engage the community. And then, of course, visually celebrating the town's 50th throughout the year by creating and implementing some branding for the 50th. And we'll be plugging that in on anything that'll stay still long enough for us to put it on there. Go ahead, Nick. So the budget, I want to start out with this. The fiscal year 23-24 budget provides $35,000 for the 50th anniversary. And to provide some background information, I know one of the questions came up as to a large event. In fact, early this year when I was consulting different folks, I had an opportunity to speak to former Mayor Paul Loomis because he was here when the town celebrated their 25th anniversary. And I said, hey, what did you guys do? What was successful? And he shared some ideas. One of those ideas was the idea of a large event, a gala or a banquet, a ticketed event that was different from the other events that the town provides. And so in looking at our budget of $35,000, we realized that that wasn't something that we could do in-house. So then with some brainstorming, we actually issued an RFP in June, worked with procurement, issued an RFP to hopefully attract one of our partners with whom we have an FPA. So that, for example, would be SACA, Tohono O'Toole, Oro Valley Chamber. And we had floated the idea initially to see if this was even something that they would be interested in. They said yes. So we went through the RFP process And when that closed, they each gave me a courtesy phone call or email saying, you know, we'd love to do this, but it's too high of a risk. It's a first-time event. It wouldn't be a built-in audience like Stay at the Town, where they know that they'll have the sponsors and the number of attendees. And it's just not something, and they even consulted with the Hilton, because the Hilton would likely be the location for an event of that size. And so none of the partners put in for that RFP, but they wanted to still meet with me and talk about other ways that they could contribute and engage with the town in a meaningful way. So we really went down that road to see if a large event, a ticketed event, maybe something a little nicer in the evening was feasible, and it wasn't with our current budget. And then we'll talk about some of those great ideas that our partners suggested. Also, initially, we were considering doing a community survey to ask residents, hey, what kinds of things would you be interested in doing? But once we really started breaking down the budget and realizing what we had to work with, we were worried about giving false expectations about what we're able to do. And so understanding that with $35,000, we needed to get very creative with sponsorships, with in-house talent to create something that would sustain us throughout the year. And so we pulled back on the survey idea. It's not too late to do that if that's something that council were still interested in, but that was one of the reasons why we held off. So with the budget of $35,000 and the goal of engaging the community throughout the year, our focus shifted from a single large event to building and creating interactive content that would be accessible to everyone throughout the year and would build on our existing events that we have. Additionally, we would like to have something that outlasts a single event or a single year. And the research, the writing, the videos, the timeline that we're building, these are something that will exist beyond 2024, that we could either leave up in perpetuity for residents to utilize or donate to, you know, PRAB or not PRAB, HPC or the Historical Society. So looking at really getting mileage out of the work product. And run through here, so up to $5,000 for research, writing, and interviews. This was something because we don't have the bandwidth to dive full into the level of research that's needed. I was able to do quite a bit of in-house with our departments, but it made a lot of sense to seek outside help. And I understand there may be questions, could someone who served at the helm of the chamber be impartial in working with the town? And that's a fair question to ask, and I wanted to share a couple thoughts on that. Prior to Dave Perry serving as the chamber president and CEO, he was the publisher and editor of the Explorer newspaper for many years. Prior to that, publisher in a Colorado paper, and now writing for the Explorer, covering mostly Oro Valley stories in a fair and impartial manner. So journalistic integrity is in his blood, and he has really proven his mettle since stepping down from the chamber. Additionally, his reputation in the community and his contacts in the community are money can't buy. And when we're trying to reach out and get people to respond and talk to us and do interviews, being contacted by someone who you're familiar with or you heard of, we're much likely to get more interaction as opposed to perhaps an unknown staff person who's reaching out. So there's just a lot of benefits. And Dave will be working under my direction and as my partner, so I'm providing the framework and those expectations, and we'll be reviewing all work products before they're published. So I feel very confident about that. Let's see here. And then, so with the limited budget, we did want to at least carve out some money for parks and recreation. Initially, we were talking about enhancing an existing event, for example, adding an element onto Celebrate Oro Valley, which is our Founders Day event in April, and April is our month of renewal. But looking at event capacity, there's not really anything we could add in a meaningful way. Then I'll let Matt explain this better, but that just wasn't a good fit for that. And so we've been exploring some other opportunities to perhaps work that money into our events. And I believe Matt might have some details to share. And then $10,000 for branded swag and items. We want to be able to have keychains, hats, mugs for people who, when they come talk to us at the booth at the 50th or at the different events and they play the games at the booth, giving them prizes, branded prizes. We'll be doing social media contests throughout the year based on different themes and having those 50th anniversary branded prizes to keep people interested and engaged. And lastly, this $10,000 for opportunities. These are some of the ideas that came in from SACA. Kate Marquez provided a great menu of things that we could do with regard to a special art exhibit, a mural, and I believe we have funding for a 50th anniversary mural, so that hopefully that will play out, as well as a large-scale movable timeline, something that we could pack up and then set up at each major event. So it's an opportunity for people to visually see and learn more about the town. Of course, there will be a web-based version of that as well. It's interactive, so people can experience it there. And then a branded 50th anniversary booth and a game where, you know, folks can come play that game and get 50th anniversary swag back, but having a physical, visible presence at each of our events for the 50th. And then additional promotional signage, banners, and posters. So that's just a quick glance at how that money might shake out. Again, nothing set in stone. All right. So sponsorship and support, understanding that we were limited in funds, we knew that we would need to engage the help of our partners. And also, there's no sense in you know, reinventing the wheel when the Historical Society has already done the lion's share of a lot of that great work. They've just published a new book on Oro Valley's first 50 years. And so finding ways to partner with them, harness their superpowers. They have set up a speakers bureau, a series of January through April, where they'll be having different themes, different speakers. And so I met with some of the gentlemen from the Historical Society early on to let them know that we want to help promote the work that they're doing and utilize and even send some of our web traffic to their site to hopefully boost more interest in the Historical Society. And also the Historic Preservation Commission has done a tremendous amount of work. There's a lot of information on our website, the history of that, so we'll be tapping into that. Let's see. And then Tucson Local Media has already generously donated $18,000 in free print ads, which will afford us a full-page color ad each month in the Explorer, and that's where we can advertise that month's theme. And we figured the best way to keep people interested is to break this into themes. And so if 1 month isn't really your cup of tea, well, the next month might be something that you're really interested in. So hopefully at some point everyone is drawn in to this experience, and we'll be using those ads to promote that. The Hilton has generously donated 50 free night stays, along with Tohono O'Toole, 50 pairs of admission tickets so that we could bundle an Oro Valley experience as a prize giveaway. And that will be used in conjunction with the Shop Local program that Paul Melcher and his team are putting together in cooperation with the chamber, having drawings for these prizes at the featured businesses that week. And that's also an opportunity, I think, where we could engage council. SACA has been a great partner and is going to be working with us on some of the art pieces. And then, of course, the chamber with the Shop Local. And then others already, the Oro Valley Hospital has reached out to me. They're interested in participating. And I know as word gets out, more groups are going to say, hey, we want to help. And so we're just going to keep an ear open and continue to add to that list. Lastly, the Oro Valley Historic Preservation Commission, I know there's been a lot of interest in how we can engage our youth. They still hold their annual William Adler Historical Writing Contest for fourth graders. And Matt and I were chatting today and talking about potentially working with the HPC to see if we can align next year's essay themes with the 50th anniversary so that we're engaging the kids in and aligning something that already is successful and happens on a yearly basis. Okay. Ready for the next one, Sir Nick. So, quick bird's eye view of the four primary planning components and the department assignments. and we'll dive into these deeper on the next few slides. So content development, that's interviews, research, writing, creating the videos, the interactive timeline, all of that information that's being led by the communications division. And then branding and promotion, making sure people know what the opportunities are, what's new, what there is to listen to, look at. Communications will handle that. And then Parks and Recreation is lead on community events, activities, and liaisons. And by liaisons, we mean if there are other communities in Oro Valley who express interest in celebrating at their particular community, they will have a person to come to, and that'll be Brandon Lau. And we can provide them maybe a toolkit, some suggestions, and then they can take the party to their organization as well. And then lastly, a shop local initiative to not only keep folks shopping locally and get Oro Valley residents spending their tax dollars locally, but also getting the businesses to step up and participate so that we can highlight them and include them in our marketing throughout the year. So that it's really, it's a win-win. All right, we'll start with the content development that my team will be helping out with. So, of course, there will be a web page dedicated to the 50th that will serve as a hub for all information and activities, so it's easy to find. We will be building an interactive timeline on the website. So the 50 moments throughout our 50 years that are on that physical, movable timeline that we want to have at events, that'll be the same structure for our interactive timeline. But as we do interviews, podcasts, articles, we'll be able to add all of those elements to that interactive timeline so people can explore different topic threads. And then the next one, of course, that large timeline display. We'll be launching a new podcast series focusing on the 50th anniversary, where we're talking to people out in the community as Dave Perry is speaking to people, collecting quotes and interviews for articles. Nick Going will be tagging along and getting some recordings as well, so we can use those audio clips and some podcasts. And then, again, breaking all of this down into monthly themes and calendars of events, so that people stay engaged and are interested in what's next. Because we don't want anyone drinking from a fire hose on January 1st and saying, here's all the things you can do all year long, and then they're just, it's overwhelming, and then we lose them. So we'll do kind of a slow rollout, really build that critical mass, and then we'll just keep it interesting each month. Another one of those techniques to keep folks engaged is the OV50. So whether that's highlighting 50 things to do in Oro Valley, 50 leaders, 50 historical facts, 50 businesses, that'll be a fun way for us to just feature different pieces of the community and encourage people to go explore those places, meet those people, patronize those businesses. We will be doing a coloring page for kids. I haven't decided yet how and where we can utilize that, but Pia, our graphic designer, has done a great, it's a 50 with all kinds of little colorable things inside of it, and so we could either do a coloring contest, Parks can have that available at the booth, maybe it's something that Tohono O'Toole and the Children's Museum would be interested in utilizing in their facility, so potential there. One of the deliverables that Dave Perry will be assisting with is a series of 12 monthly Explore articles, and those will be topical, so covering different topics throughout the town's history. And then lastly, we're currently looking at the opportunity to do in-classroom presentations at Oro Valley Schools, and this really was inspired by former council member Mary Snyder. Hi, Mary. She used to go into fourth grade classrooms and do her presentations. Because it was, I believe they're doing that civics lesson in that curriculum. And so Dave Perry happens to be very passionate about working with kids, and he would love to, just as a volunteer, go in and give a presentation, and perhaps the mayor can come with him or the vice mayor. And so it's a great opportunity to learn about the town's history and also get to meet the mayor, vice mayor, police chief, to get in the classrooms in a way that aligns with the curriculum. And real quickly on the previous slide, Nick, on content development. Just quick background. Initially, early this spring, we worked with all of the town departments and asked them to submit a series of questions. What are your major projects that have really shaped Oro Valley over the years? Who are those people that you have worked closely with? What are some fun facts about your department? And we'll be pulling from all of that information, doing the fun facts, doing the trivia quizzes, and building this story. So we were thoughtful about engaging all of the departments. Okay. And then, in addition to referencing the great work of the Historical Society and the Historical Preservation Commission, we're building a list of people that we'd like to interview throughout this process, and we're still building that list, but I'll give you a few examples so you can kind of see what we're trying to do with the cross-section. So we've got previous mayors, including Lauren Rood, who's the oldest living council member, Dr. Grogan at Roche Ventana, Mark Weinberg, who was involved in building the Hilton Resort, several key people from within town government, past and present, like Jose Rodriguez, Philip Saleta with the water utility, Kathy Cuvalier, and then key members from our town's history, like Dick Egerdeen, Twink Monrad, who was a dear friend of James D. Craig. So, Mayor and Council, if you have any names that you would like us to include in those conversations, those interviews, please send those to me. We'd love to add that to the list. And then branding and promotion, this is a pretty simple one to run through. We'll develop the 50th logo, and we'll be branding all applicable collateral, websites, socials, PowerPoint, and all of our things that we typically do throughout the year will have a 50th anniversary visual bend to them, with the monthly full print ads and the Explore media, social media campaigns, press releases, email blasts, all the usual. And then promotional flyers that are available at public events. So if you're out at the farmer's market, you know, we'll have something there that tells you, here's what's going on for the 50th, either this month, or scan this QR code to find out what's on tap. And then I already mentioned sustained interest, the monthly themes, and then developing the OV50. So that is the comms team. Moving next to community events, activities, and liaisons. I'll do a quick overview, but then I'm going to step back at the end of this, and I'll let our subject matter experts address it. But Parks and Recreation will work to develop and manage a year-long calendar of town events to include relevant events by official partners like SACA, Tohono O'Toole, the Chamber, the Historical Society. Social media contests and activities related to the 50th, those fun facts, those interesting things that we've been working to put together. A 50th branded booth set up at major town events to include games and activities with 50th branded prizes. Renaming of West Lambert Lane Park in conjunction with the 50th and a potential ribbon cutting or similar. And then the point of contact for liaisons from community groups and organizations who are interested in celebrating. And then staff is also exploring options for enhancing an event to commemorate the 50th, because they do have that $10,000, so that they're still cooking up some ideas on that. Next one, Sir Nick. And then CED will be working with the Chamber on a Shop Local initiative, a name still to be developed. This is just sort of a placeholder, so you know kind of what we're going after. They are currently working at that on that. The Chamber will choose 25 weeks. We have 50 prize packages, so they'll do 25 weeks. And in each of those 25 weeks, two businesses will be highlighted. And so two prize packages will be given out that week to the shoppers who put in for the drawing. So they'll put disposable drop boxes, and our goal is to have 50 total to participate with those prize packages. And this was also an area where I thought it's kind of a natural fit to engage council if any of you were interested in being there for the drawings and helping us announce the drawings, or maybe those winners are announced with a short video on social media, and council can be involved in that. Okay. And then we have our last slide, and I had some closing comments before we jump to questions. Mayor and Council, now that our framework is starting to come together, we're able to better identify areas where you and others can have meaningful participation throughout. We're also looking at ways that our boards and commissions and YAC can get involved. But for council, some of the things we're tentatively looking at is a reception cake and photo op at your April 17th council meeting, because that is the actual date of our anniversary. So it would be fun to have something here at Town Hall. As I mentioned before, featuring council at the prize drawings, those 25 weeks of prize drawings with the businesses, opportunities to meet and speak with the public at the by participating in the 50th anniversary booth at our major events, if you wanted to hang out there with staff and meet people and talk to them. And then as part of my team's content development, I'd like to include a segment where we feature you as our sitting council, our leaders who are here as we go through this 50th year. And so that's something that we're also planning to do. And then in addition to your questions this evening, I'd like to hear your ideas on ways that council would like to be involved. What would be a meaningful engagement for you? And so with that, Mayor and Council, we'd be happy to field any questions or suggestions you may have. And I've got my experts with me.
Okay, great. Thank you, Ms. Nowak. And as Misty said, Council, this evening is to provide you with this overview of the planning that's been done to date. And clearly, there's been a significant amount of work, and so we want to acknowledge that and appreciate all that you've done. It's also, you can ask questions, but it's also your opportunity to provide some of your ideas about the celebration of this wonderful community in this upcoming year. So I'll open it to council members. Vice Mayor?
Thank you. I appreciate the effort to stay within the budget. I am also glad this is coming before council, because I think it's something that we need the opportunity to weigh in on. Because when I read the plan, I feel like the budget is much too small and we're not going big enough or resident focused enough for celebrating our 50th anniversary. And so to me, it feels like a lot of opportunities for branding or partnerships, and not enough for our residents. And I think what we really should do is some kind of a big celebration. And if that means enhancing the budget for this, which of course that's something that, you know, council has the option to do. So I appreciate that that wasn't something that could easily be done by you guys. And so if that means enhancing the budget for that to try and meet those resident expectations and desires, then I think that would be good. One thing, so this morning I went on to a couple different community groups on social media and just asked, hey, what are your thoughts and ideas for celebrating the 50th? I didn't share anything. And I said, we're talking about it at council tonight. And of course, this agenda was already live and public. And so I'm gonna read a couple, but I wanted to just give this to council, because I know that in the past when it's been like a long list, it's helpful to have a paper, and I can make it available for the public record too. But if I could just pass this to council for 1 second. Okay, so the first page is kind of some bullet points of a lot of the things that people said on social media, and this is just our residents, and it's a quick glance at a lot of things, but some themes really came up. And then the second set of pages is there was actually a citizen that I don't know who tried to put together some of the comments that people had made, and she made a document, and I thought because of how much effort that she had put into that, and it was pretty good, that it was worth letting you guys see that, the document that she made as her thoughts. But just on that first page, this is kind of, you know, my summary of some of the themes. The top requested thing was a parade. And so I think we should do a parade, whether that's in April or whether that's bringing back our holiday parade, which is one of the things I get requested by citizens a lot. People had a lot of ideas about what to do with local school groups, bands, decorated golf carts, fancy cars, candy, horse owners, fire department, police department, scouting, dance troupe, churches, etc., to have a celebrate Oro Valley parade. Everyone thought that would be a lot of fun. And then they wanted some kind of a family festival. They mentioned
Food trucks came up a lot, mainly local food trucks from our local restaurants. Live music with outdoors music festivals, professional or local performances, large bounce houses for kids. They said get even more so they don't have to wait 45 minutes. We thought about tournaments, golf tournaments, pickleball, disc golf, tennis tournaments, and more that would be fun to hold at some of our facilities for our community members to participate in and maybe win some of those prizes, like a night or rounds of golf or a night at the Hilton or something like that that we've talked about. I think it'd be fun to have an art contest, either just for seniors or for everyone. People talked about different kinds of contests like photography, painting, sculpture, quilting, all of those things. We've got a couple great artists on council that could help with a committee of judging those. An essay contest for high school students who live in Oro Valley where they could compete for a good scholarship and then we could publish what they write. Like if we did $2,000 total towards that, we could do $1,000 for the winner, $500 for second place, and two $250 runner-ups. And we could give a scholarships to some Oro Valley youth who write really well about what it means to grow up in Oro Valley historically. And then, you know, a time capsule, historical displays and information, I think a lot of that's been done. It was mentioned service, tree and saguaro planting, garbage pickup, business participation and donations. A lot of that's kind of covered, or banners on light poles celebrating the 50th. So those were some of the ideas that really came just in a quick flash today from some of our citizens, and they echoed some of the things that I had Googled about what other towns did and some of my thoughts. So I would just like to go bigger and more citizen-focused. Like, I would like to do something for our citizens where it's, you know, I'm not really that concerned about what my role in it is or like a photo op or this or that. I'm more wanting to have us put on something to celebrate. I think the 50th is a big deal. You know, probably most of us won't be here when we get to the 100th. I think we should go a little bit bigger on the 50th and have a good celebration. So those are my thoughts, and I'd love to hear everyone else's thoughts.
Okay, thanks, Vice Mayor. Councilmember Nicholson?
Yeah, I'll be pretty blunt. Like, I would like to have some idea of, like, the planning and the process, like stuff that Melanie talked about. Like, you know, everyone remembers Woodstock. I mean, Mo, you probably would remember Woodstock 69. I think me and Melanie remember the one from 94. Like, 69, lots of fun. People out there, they're not out to make a profit. Like, this one kind of feels like it's a state sponsorship of businesses. Like, I like the community-driven type stuff. Like, you know, having a day for horseback riding, a day for archery, a day of soccer, stuff that citizens love and enjoy doing, like kickball. And, like, just having our families out there to go have fun. And, you know, I don't mind doing, you know, sponsorship, corporate type stuff, but like, it's celebration of the citizens. And it got presented today. It feels like I'm not even a part of it. Like, you can add your little two bits to it, but I think really we do so much stuff where we do general plans and stuff like that, where you get so much citizen involvement and let the citizens kind of help design and plan and decide what we're going to do. And yeah, I'd just like to see a little bit more of that.
Okay. Councilmember Bowen.
Miss Nowak. And everyone, thank you very much for your efforts. When I think about this and I look back, I think not all of us remember, but 1974 was a crazy time compared to now. And I think there's a lot of opportunities to remind the public that Oro Valley 1974 is not Oro Valley 2024. It's a very different place. People dressed differently. Culture was different. The size of the town was different. Personally, I would love to see things like this is the living room where, you know, we drew up the first plans. This is where our police department was. I think that's a theme that you could carry through this, and I think that would engage people. You know, what was Oro Valley in 1974? It's just a few hundred people. I don't even know exactly where it started. I don't know where these people live that had such a great influence on us, but I bet you the houses are still there, you know, without interfering with people's privacies. I think that's just would be a great theme that would engage people. Look how much your town has changed in 50 years. And we didn't come from nothing. We came from stuff that's still around. And just keep up the good work. This is very hard. There's going to be 50,000 opinions on how we should do this. And I trust you guys to just, you know, keep moving forward and come up with something that you guys think will work for the residents of Oro Valley. Thanks.
Councilmember Jones-Ivey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've got to admit, I do like the idea of getting our citizens in the community involved. When I think about the celebrations that I've had in other towns, there's been a tremendous amount of community involvement. And some of the things that I've read for on the feedback the vice mayor got for the 50th anniversary celebrations are great ideas. So I would like to see more of this instituted. Thank you.
Councilmember Green.
I think this is a great opportunity to involve the Oro Valley Theater Company. They have a group that writes short stories, and you could go into senior housing and give them a 1974 year and write about their life at that time. So that would be something that could happen. You could have some of their actors actually going to schools as some of the 74 characters that lived in Oro Valley to portray some of the history. I mean, there's some great opportunities there. So you might want to chat with them a little bit and see what they might do.
Councilmember Solomon.
Well, Misty, a great job, you know, for getting us started on this. You're all making me feel awful old. And in 1974, I used to, when I was at the UA, ride my motorcycle up to this area to, you know, get out into the middle of nowhere in the desert, which is what it seemed like out here. So, I mean, if it would help, I'm happy to go through my closet and see if I can find some old jeans or something from 1974 that visited Oro Valley and contribute those. But no, once again, I mean, thanks very much. I think it's a lot of great ideas. I mean, a parade is one of the things I've heard a lot from people too. And of course, a lot of variations, having floats, having cars, in it, business sponsoring floats and advertising, things like that. So, I think you're off to a great start. And, I think you guys are, with some more input, going to do a great job. So thank you.
So, Misty, you mentioned that you had heard at least some of the feedback earlier from council, and I've also heard some feedback concern about bandwidth and ability to, and I can't speak for the entire council, I certainly recognize that that's an important concern. So budget may be an area where that might be helpful in terms of increasing the budget. To the other is, speaking for myself, I'm certainly ready to roll up my sleeves and help with, any number of these activities, I would hope, in a meaningful way. I also believe, that the community, if we reach out to the community to enlist, their help, I know you've identified some of our important partners, the El Conquistador, the Chamber, Tohono O'odham, SACA. But I suspect that there are some others. You mentioned the hospital, and I've been making some visits to schools. I've mentioned our 50th anniversary. They've all responded, that they want to be involved in some way. Now, admittedly, until you make the ask as to what that is. But I really believe that we can get, increase our bandwidth by pulling in the community. And I think by doing that, there'll be more just energy and support and participation because, folks will have skin in the game. So I want to just add, not really adding, but maybe reaffirming, I think a parade personally is a must for celebrating our 50th anniversary. And I realize that may be a heavy lift, but I think we can make it happen. And I've had, it was mentioned earlier tonight about a golf commission or something. I mean, I suspect we could, you know, put out a call for help with, you know, organizing a parade, and we could probably put together a pretty formidable group to help carry that off, to kind of, I mean, the town could support that, of course, but in terms of maybe taking the lead, maybe that is shifted to some other, you know, community group as just a thought, if a parade seems like a heavy lift or overwhelming. But I really think that is an important part of, I think it would be a missed opportunity, let me just say that, if we didn't have a parade. And where that falls in the year, you know, that could be determined as to what makes the most sense, whether that's, I mean, I see on the sheet that the vice mayor sent out, this individual put it in March, I'm not sure why. You know, April comes to mind, or of course the holiday parade is kind of a part of Oro Valley's history, December, but I'm not locked into any of that. I feel what I am locked into, though, is a parade. So to me, that's really important. And the other thing that was mentioned is the idea of planting 50 trees in commemoration of our 50th anniversary. I didn't see that in the presentation. I know it's something that we've talked about. Admittedly, I like trees. For a variety of reasons, I think that could be, it would be an important statement for the community. I also think it's a way, whether we wanted to enlist, you know, donations, and I don't know how that works, but I suspect that a number of organizations, individuals, would be willing to contribute and would want to be a part of planting that tree. Naranja Park seems like a natural for, probably could absorb 50 trees pretty easily, or they could be, you know, distributed throughout the community. But so I would really like us to make a commitment to that 50 tree idea. Again, how that's executed, where those trees are placed, you know, all that to be determined. And I don't know who said it. Maybe it was Council Member Nicholson. But, you know, we have some wonderful facilities, you know, golf being one. We've talked about that tonight. I think it could be fun with all these different golf, tennis, pickleball, cycling, and so forth, to have you know, a golf tournament, but that it's not a fundraiser kind of tournament. The idea would be to pull people in that maybe even haven't played golf before, to introduce them to our golf courses, match them up with Mo, and or Councilmember Bowen, and so I think that could be fun, to have some tournaments that, again, to just partly to highlight these wonderful resources that we have in our community. Would be one of the purposes for that. You know, I really love the concept of the OV50, and you know, just a thought to throw out, Tohono O'Toole, and I'm going to give you a chance, Missy, here to kind of react to some of what Council has said here, and Brandon and others. But Tohono O'Toole did a fun thing with a, kind of like a bingo card. It was focused around kind of, you know, being a good steward of the environment. And there were maybe 25 things that you could, you know, do, like change your light bulbs to LED and, you know, fix your toilet so it doesn't use as much water, and so on and so forth. And then you could turn those into Tohono O'Toole. They had a drawing where if you did all 25, you went into one box, and, you know, those were selected. So I think possibly it could be fun on the OV50, that maybe those 50 things that you do in town, or like, you know, do the zip line at Naranja Park, or, you know, do a cannonball at the aquatic center, or what, you know, just some fun things to kind of get people connected to things that they maybe wouldn't do otherwise, right? You know, get some yogurt at Peach Wave, whatever, those kinds of things. And then we could take those, have a drawing. That's just a thought in terms of that. And I see Councilmember Green, I'll get to you in just a second here. So those are just Yeah, some ideas. We also have some incredible musical talent. And for example, Sun City, they've got a ukulele group. They've got a brass band group. And I'm sure there's others. We have the Battle of the Bands. We have young people that are
the musical. Karaoke group Sunday nights.
Okay. So I think in terms, that event, that family festival, I think it could be a cool opportunity to pull in some of this local talent that we have in Oro Valley and really highlight that kind of a, Tucson Meet Yourself. And I think we attempted that Oro Valley Meet Yourself, but just that idea to kind of pull from the creative juices within our community. Again, it's a kind of that buy-in, and I think we'll get more participation from the community as a whole. But those are some thoughts. Councilmember Green.
You mentioned Tohono O'Toole, and whenever anything happens at Tohono O'Toole, they always begin with the fact this land was once inhabited by Native Americans. And have you thought about maybe involving the tribe or the tribal councils in this event? Let them take some part in it as well.
Vice Mayor.
Thanks. I just think imagine a day. I think people really wanted something like the celebration of the 4th of July. And one thing is the 4th of July is always when it feels like it's a million degrees outside. So you're there with your kids waiting in line for the bouncy houses, and it's so hot. So if we were to do something like more like that, but in April, like that big kind of event, I just think, and there was debate about fireworks online, which is why I didn't add them to the list, because some people said yes, fireworks, and some people said no, fireworks. So I thought, okay, that's a draw. But anyway, just imagine like if we started the morning and we had some tennis, pickleball type of events, tournaments for adults, and we had a parade. Then in the late afternoon, we had the big bouncy houses and a big event, and it ended with some live music, food trucks, and everybody bringing their beverages and their lawn chairs and enjoying that outdoor live music, maybe some combination of local and professional, so that it could really be a fun concert. I just think that that would be really successful, and I think that people could really get behind that. So that's kind of what I see. And also, I wanted to mention that I've seen the mayor's school and the police chief's school presentation, and they do a great job. So I think the mayor would be good at going to the local schools. And then in terms of the shop local, I love that we're focusing on the shop local, but I also feel like that's not really the 50th. Like, that's just an ongoing program that we're paying the $10,000 to the chamber for. And so we want to have a renewed emphasis on that. But for me, it wouldn't come from this budget or this project. That would be like just that's our ongoing thing, is that we're trying to encourage people to shop local, versus this is more like let's celebrate our anniversary. And I will just mention on the parade front that I have a child in the marching band, and she informed me that April is off season for marching bands. And so if you want marching bands in April, you need to ask them very early so that they can prepare for that. But the holiday bands are, the holiday is during marching band season. But I think the parade was, and then kind of a family festival, food trucks were mentioned very highly. So I think those are important elements.
Other comments from council? Councilmember Nicholson?
I just want to say I appreciate everyone's opinion. Like, I think there's a lot of great advice from the council, and I would like to see a lot of those things. And, maybe even planting saguaros. I know Joe was talking about trees. I'd like to see at least one saguaro, maybe. And, like school bands and, we've got kids that do dance and all kinds of stuff. But, yeah, it would be great to see all these different groups have, like, a spotlight of a day to enjoy. I like the idea of golf and all these different types of people. I think a lot of people enjoy it. It'd be great to showcase all the great fun things there are to do Arizona, but Oro Valley. But I'd just like to see involvement with the citizens. I think you'll get a lot of people with a lot of advice and a lot of great ideas and opinions. But yeah, thanks for the work too. Appreciate the work.
One other quick thought on the OV50 is that we have some great public art, And I think it could be really fun to do some kind of scavenger where you, I don't know how it would, you know, where you're kind of describing something, but folks have to find the, you know, that particular public, yeah, piece of public art. But we just have such wonderful pieces of public art that for the most, not for the most part, many people don't fully appreciate this incredible resource that we have in our community. So I do think it's an opportunity to try to engage people in just the wonderful resources that we have in our community. Okay, Misty.
Well, the good news is we're tracking with you on a lot of these things. Brandon just reminded me that he's already got some pickleball tournaments scheduled as part of the lineup. The 50 trees being planted is going to take place. And, you know, in my effort to kind of provide the broad planning, I left out some of the fun stuff. We are doing a bingo game. I think we're stealing the idea from the city of Tucson, but it's a bunch of different things that make Oro Valley special. You have to go there, get your bingo card, turn it in, prizes, things like that. So a lot of those activities for the residents, I didn't share those with you this evening because there are so many possibilities. We're trying to nail down which ones would be the most fun. So rest assured, we'll be having some fun activities. A quick comment about the parade. It sounds like that is a very popular idea. And if you recall, when we did have the holiday parade, that was run by an outside person. The town never ran that parade. And that person actually quit because it was such a heavy lift and no one wanted to help. That doesn't mean that the parade can't work, especially if you say, hey, this is a one-time only, all hands on deck. It's not going to be like this recurring burden. And so perhaps that's an opportunity where we can engage perhaps our boards and commissions. Some of these things that we want to do, like a golf tournament, maybe the town doesn't have to do it, but we talk to some of our golf groups and ask, would you like to host a 50th golf tournament? And we'll give you our branding kit for that, but they're managing that so that we're getting around the staff bandwidth, but we're still able to put on this cool event, and we're also engaging more of the community to do that. So is the parade perhaps a way that we can get our boards and commissions involved and find out who's interested, who has the time, and they take the lead on that. And then, of course, we support them with the branding and the promotion. Because I think there are some really great ideas here, and the trick is just finding how to rally the troops to make those happen. With regard to the larger event, because a lot of the things that we heard, and I'm also a member of the Oro Valley Community of Women, so I had an opportunity to read your post today. And I noticed several of them described a lot of what happens at the Celebrate Oro Valley event already. And so obviously there's a disconnect in our community if people aren't aware of that event. So there's an opportunity there. And then, you know, we'd initially discussed, should we try to expand that event in some way? So I'm going to turn the event conversation over to Parks and Rec because that's out of my wheelhouse.
Wise move, Misty.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, thanks for this opportunity. Misty stole a lot of my thunder, but luckily, as she mentioned, we do have a lot of this tracking already. We seem to be on the same page. Trying to address a couple of comments that I made note of. As we mentioned, pickleball tournament. We have a nice list of 50 events and attractions already going throughout the year. It's a running list. It's pretty long. And what we'd wanted to do is highlight different activities and events that are already existing in our community. One of those is a pickleball tournament going on. In regards to golf, Mr. Jankowski's already been in communication with the golf side of the house. Maybe not so much for a tournament, but we're definitely wanting to include golf in the year's worth of activities, whether that's 50 holes or something community based that we can pull golf into.
We only have 45, Brandon.
I know. We're gonna get a couple shovels out. We'll make a few more. So, yeah. We can make it happen. we're creative. As Misty mentioned, we're underway with the trees, making sure that that's a part of next year's calendar of events. In regard to the Celebrate Oro Valley, I know Vice Mayor Barrett, you mentioned an event that includes food trucks, that type of activities. I'll just mirror what Misty had said. I think that part of our task in the Parks and Recreation Department is really going to be utilizing our social media network and making sure people are aware of what already is in existence. So making sure that they're aware of Celebrate Oro Valley. And that's, as mentioned, kind of our Founders Day and what all is already taking place there. And then Missy's team, again, is going to contribute to the branding effort so that we're tying all that in. So it all seems and feels like a year's worth of offerings. Let's see. Councilmember Nicholson, you'll be happy to know you mentioned archery in one of these events throughout the year. We are highlighting Jose Samaniego Memorial Barbecue and competition, archery competition. So again, I think, as I mentioned, everything is tracking, and we have a lot of these events already in existence. So now we're going to go forward and make sure the community is aware of them and really show off the diversity in this town. So I'll take any other questions.
Vice Mayor.
Thanks. I kind of feel like maybe I'm not coming across, because I just feel like bigger, like in the sense that, we should have a day where this is our community celebration, where no one should doubt that we celebrated it, instead of it being like, well, we can give some branding to an existing event, or in terms of, like we want to, if a partner wants to put on an event, then they'll do this, or because I just feel like we are the town of Oro Valley. It's our incorporation that we're celebrating, and we are the citizens, and it's their money and their desires that we're trying to reflect. So if we don't celebrate the town's incorporation, there isn't another group or body that will really celebrate the town's incorporation. And Marana does a big thing for their Marana days. And so, I just feel like we hire consultants for other things all the time. If it's a question of bandwidth, maybe we could hire an event planner. But I just feel like that Celebrate Oro Valley that we normally do at Steam Pump Ranch, I go to that every year. It's not highly attended, and most people who go to it are the people who are already at the farmers market. That's not the type of event that I think our citizens would like to see, in terms of, just a bigger event, like having something big at a park, like outdoor live music, and not just like a booth at the Celebrate Oro Valley that we already do. So I just feel like having a day where we really say, this is the day we're celebrating. We're having a parade. We're having our afternoon bounce houses at the park. We're having live music and food trucks. I think that would make it really feel like we celebrated that. We celebrated our 50th anniversary, instead of like, if we're trying to spread it over a whole year and then people aren't aware of it, and then did we really do it, and that kind of thing. So I feel like we have the ability financially to put on a good 50th celebration. We've put on other good events like the 4th of July in the past. And even if we have to just, hire an event planner to help us make it happen, I feel like we should do that.
Councilmember Solomon.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. We need the one day event. This is it. We're celebrating it. Okay, it's April 17th, falls on a Wednesday. We could certainly do perhaps the weekend before or weekend after. Maybe the parade is something that we have to lose because of the complexity of it, but certainly a celebration on the scale of what we do on July 4th, it draws a lot of people, and I agree. We should have all these other events are great, but really we should probably look at a one day, this is it, this is our 50th anniversary.
Brandon, Misty, Matt, Paul.
Mayor, members of council, I think that sort of input that you just provided to us is valuable. We were looking at it on a on the year-long timeline. If the desire is to go with one specific day full of events and activities, I don't see any reason why we can't shift the way that we've been thinking and working at it in order to get us to that point. I think you provided enough comments with regards to the expectations for what that would look like using July 4th as essentially a measuring stick for what we could be doing that.
Don't forget the 50th anniversary cake.
You know, I don't want to speak for council. I personally, I don't want to unravel
the year long.
Yeah, I think there. I think there is value in the monthly themes, the OV50, and just you know. But I also think there does need to be an event that we celebrate the incorporation of Oro Valley. April, I think, makes the most sense. I've been to each of the Celebrate Oro Valleys as well. I mean, I have a little bit different take. I mean, I think they are reasonably well attended. I think with the 50th, that will just naturally bring some additional folks, but I think, you know, it has those elements, you know, the music, the food trucks, and so on and so forth, games, activities. So I think just kind of elevating that is at least what would be my expectations, but I wouldn't unravel the planning, because I think it's really important, and that was really the direction that was given. So, but I think having that one event, I really think a parade is important. So whenever that happens, I have to admit I'm a little bit concerned about having all of that stuff on one day, keeping in mind that our average age is 54. We might lose some folks.
Put in some nap time.
Yeah.
So anyway. Well, okay. Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
I like the idea of having it being, 12 months long? And all the activities that you all have presented, I love it. I do. I think it should be one heck of a celebration the day of, and we'll decide when that is. I like the idea of the weekend before, because it'll give us time to recover. But I'm concerned about the cost, and because I'm not so sure that $35,000 would do it. So I am in favor of you all doing a really nice event, and us finding the finances to make that happen.
Okay. So I'm hearing a parade. I'm hearing a big April event. I'm hearing that come back with a budget that meets the expectations of what, you know, a 50th anniversary celebration should be. The 25th, I think the budget was $20,000. I mean, if you just take inflation into consideration, I mean, it's well above $35,000.
Yeah, I would agree, Mr.
Okay, so let's not shortchange ourselves.
Understood.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much for your time.
You.
I think meeting adjourned.